Welcome back to the lab. Sources have been removed from this recording for compatibility with listening. Visit quantumdisciple.com to view the sources in detail. Part one, understanding evolution, creation, and the ancient timeline. We are looking at two very different ways people explain the history of the Earth. One is the idea that life develops slowly over billions of years. The other is the biblical picture of a six-day creation and a young Earth. We are going to focus on how massive creatures like dinosaurs fit into this picture and what the original text actually says about the timeline, the global flood, and the true age of the Earth. We will compare the biblical view with science and history using plain language. We are treating the scriptures as our main source. Our approach is simple. We will look at direct statements from the text, draw logical conclusions from those statements, and use history and science to test these ideas. We are following the example of ancient truth seekers who carefully checked everything against the original writings to see what was true. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Section 1. When were humans created? One big difference between believing the earth is old versus believing it is young is when human beings actually show up. The scriptures place the first man and woman at the very start of creation, not at the end of billions of years. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female?" If the first humans were made at the beginning, this timeline simply does not match a universe that runs for billions of years before people finally appear. If creation took 6 days, then day six is reasonably considered the beginning. However, in a timeline stretching over 13 billion years, calling the arrival of humans the beginning makes no logical sense. Some people who believe in an old earth still trust the scriptures, but they interpret the word beginning very loosely. We must test that interpretation by seeing what the rest of the text says, rather than just dismissing it. Section 2. How long were the days of creation? The original account describes creation happening in 6 days, and it sets a very clear pattern for each of those days. "And there was evening and there was morning the first day, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The phrase evening and morning, which is repeated for all 6 days, combined with the command to work for 6 days and rest for one, clearly points to normal 24-hour days. The weekly day of rest is tied directly to a literal 6-day creation event. Sometimes people point to another passage that says, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years," but that statement is about how the Creator views time. It is not a dictionary definition for the word day in the creation story. It does not stretch the days of creation into long, sweeping ages. Section 3, reproducing according to their kinds. The text states that plants and animals reproduce according to their specific kinds. This completely fits with the idea of small-scale changes happening within a specific group of animals, but it does not fit with the idea of one kind of animal turning into a completely different kind of animal over time. Seed-bearing plants, and according to their various kinds, every living thing, and according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. The original ancient word for kind likely means a broader group of animals than our modern word species. However, the overall pattern remains clear. Life stays within the boundaries of its created kind. The text does not teach that one kind of creature slowly rewrites its own biology to become another kind entirely. Part 2, Death, the Fall, and the Dinosaur. Question Section 4. Death and the Fall of Humanity. A worldview that believes the earth is incredibly old usually places millions of years of death, disease, and fossil records before humans ever existed. The scriptures, however, directly tie the origin of death to human rebellion. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. In the text, death is presented as a strict penalty for rebellion. It is not presented as something that was always meant to be there. If death, disease, and decay were totally normal for millions of years before the first man existed, then calling the finished creation very good is incredibly hard to justify based on what the text actually says. The entire message of rescue and salvation depends on the fact that death is an enemy. Death entered the world because of human rebellion, and it is ultimately overcome by the Creator. Section 5. Are dinosaurs in the original text? According to the creation account, land animals, including the very large ones, were made on day 6. That is the exact same week humans were made. So, according to this timeline, massive land animals like dinosaurs shared the exact same creation window as people. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. Later in the scriptures, there is a description of a massive animal that the Creator says he made along with humanity. Many scholars believe this was a real physical creature and possibly an animal very similar to a dinosaur. Look at Behemoth, which I made along with you. Its tail sways like a cedar. It ranks first among the works of God. A raging river does not alarm him. He is secure, though the Jordan should surge against his mouth. Can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down its tongue with a rope? Nothing on earth is its equal, a creature without fear. The actual word dinosaur was not invented until the 1840s. The ancient texts use older names and vivid descriptions. Saying an animal has a tail that sways like a cedar tree fits a massive reptile much better than it fits a hippopotamus or an elephant. So the text really does describe massive creatures that lived during the same era as human beings. Looking at modern context, in 2005, a scientist reported finding soft, flexible tissue and blood vessels inside the leg bone of a Tyrannosaurus rex. That discovery is shocking if the bone is tens of millions of years old, because soft tissue normally breaks down very quickly. Some researchers have also reported finding traces of carbon-14 in dinosaur fossils, which would strongly point to a much younger age. Critics argue that these results must come from contamination, and the scientific debate remains open. However, from a biblical viewpoint, a young earth where these animals were buried recently perfectly fits both the ancient text and the very real possibility of finding preserved soft tissue. Part 3. The Global Flood and Geological Evidence, Section 6. The Global Flood as a Worldwide Reset. The scriptures describe a massive global flood that acted as a judgment on the world and completely reset the surface of the earth. The famous ark saved representatives of every kind of land-dwelling animal. This would logically include the kinds of animals we now refer to as dinosaurs. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and 7 others. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. everything on earth will perish. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. The flood is consistently presented as a real historical and global event. The text describes water bursting up from deep underground, combined with water pouring down from above, eventually covering the highest mountains. Furthermore, the Creator makes a binding promise that a flood like this will never happen again. All of these details point to a single, catastrophic worldwide judgment, not just a severe local river flooding. Even Jesus himself treated the story of the flood as actual, literal history. Later writers also warn that in the final days, people will intentionally ignore this history. They will assume that everything in the world just keeps going exactly as it has since the very beginning. The text says these people will deliberately forget that the world was once judged and destroyed by water, just as it will one day be judged by fire. Therefore, we should not automatically assume that the distant past looked exactly like the present day. The flood was a massive, one-time, planet-wide event that changed everything. Section 7, geology, rock layers, and the Grand Canyon. Views that support an ancient Earth often look at deep layers of rock as a slow, step-by-step timeline of history. A young Earth view, however, can look at those exact same rock layers and see them as being laid down very quickly during and immediately after the massive global flood. For example, scientists sometimes find fossilized tree trunks standing straight up through multiple different layers of rock. These vertical fossils show that those specific rock layers had to form incredibly quickly around the tree. They absolutely do not require millions of years to build up. We can also look at modern events. When Mount St. Helens erupted in the 1980s, a single explosion carved a massive deep canyon in a matter of days. This proves that catastrophic flows of water and mud can drastically reshape the landscape incredibly fast. Also, in places like the Grand Canyon, we see massive layers of rock that are folded and bent. A logical explanation is that the rock was still soft and wet when it was bent into those shapes. This perfectly fits the idea of rapid burial during a flood, followed by immediate folding, rather than a slow buildup of hard rock over millions of years. Part 4, genealogies and the core, message section 8, the day of rest in the ancient family lines. The Ten Commandments tie the human work week directly to the timeline of the creation week. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. This command only makes logical sense if the original 6 days of creation were actual, literal days. Additionally, the ancient texts provide specific ages within the family lines, starting all the way back from the first man. By adding those numbers together, we get a timeline measured in thousands of years, not millions or billions. Therefore, both the structure of the creation week and the detailed family records point straight toward a young Earth. Section 9. Why this timeline matters for the ultimate message. If death, disease, and decay were completely normal parts of life for millions of years before humans ever existed, then death is not an unnatural intruder that broke into the world through human rebellion. If death is normal, then the biblical story of the fall of humanity and our ultimate rescue is severely weakened. The original text clearly states that creation was initially very good. It says that death is the direct payment for sin, and it promises that one day there will be no more death at all. The entire point of Christ's sacrifice and resurrection is to defeat death as the ultimate enemy. Therefore, the Bible's historical timeline, starting with a perfect creation, followed by a fall into sin, a global flood, and an ultimate rescue, is absolutely vital to the core message of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. To summarize the core teaching, the scriptures describe a six-day creation event with human beings present at the very beginning. Life was designed to reproduce within specific kinds. Death only entered the world as a direct result of human rebellion, and the earth was later reshaped by a global flood. Massive creatures like dinosaurs perfectly fit into this picture as large land animals created alongside humanity, which were also affected by the flood. Reading the text from a young earth perspective honors the Bible's own internal timeline and strongly supports the foundational message of rescue and restoration. We invite you to read these passages for yourself and consider the evidence. Thank you for listening. Please like and subscribe and visit quantumdisciple.com for more Christian research. Quantum Disciple out.